Read for me Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 to 12 again. That is our main text. And then I will just move in straight to questions. Matthew 5 verse 1 to 12. Please open your Bible. Matthew 5 1 to 12. Okay, we're going to have Kevin reading for us. Kevin, you're going to read New King James Version now. That will give us the original words I'm looking for. Matthew chapter 5 verse verse 1 to 12. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Please follow in your Bible because this is the basis for the questions.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for that is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Amen. Please put your hands together for Kevin. He just read that very beautifully and very patiently. Okay, this is my first question. Are you with me? All right, so let's just do that. So, we are in Matthew 5. Jesus is saying, "Blessed are these, for they shall be this." So he's telling you the condition for blessing and the type of blessing. Amen? It tells you 9 conditions. In general, in theology, they say 8, but it's 9. 9 conditions of blessing and the specific blessing. Now, this is Jesus telling you. So I always try to tell you that in your walk with God, always remember something. Don't ever forget this if you want to make the most of your walk with God. God's blessings are conditional. Amen. His own job is to release it and tell you how to enter. Your own job is to what? Enter by using the key he has revealed. Okay? So the first blessing the first condition for blessing is what? To be what? Poor in spirit. Can you see that? Let me just reduce it. Okay? Can you see it? Yes. So the number one key to enter blessing is to be what? Poor in spirit. So my question is this. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Or what is the spiritual virtue of being poor in spirit? Yeah? What quality do you need in your life that will enable you to be what? Poor in spirit. Do you get that question? What quality do you need in your life that will enable you to be poor in spirit? Let's start from the children first.
Being humble.
Being humble, yes. Yes, that's in the right direction. It's a good, good answer. Can you just, that's already good enough, but can you improve on it?
Humbling yourself before God and realizing your need for Him.
Yes, that's a good description of being humble. Realizing your need for God. Anybody try to improve on that? Being poor in spirit. What qualities do you need that will help you to be poor in spirit? This is the right answer. You're about getting the prize. Anybody can? Can you take it further? Being humble and what? It's the same thing. If you are humble, what will you be? With respect to God. With respect to God, if you are humble and you realize your need for God, what would that make you in terms of your relationship with God?
Not proud.
Not proud, yes. You're just reversing it. Anybody? Yes? You are humble, which is the answer. You realize your need for God. So, in terms of the way you relate with God, what will He make you?
Hunger for God.
Hunger for God. Yes, yes, not exactly. Okay, I don't think you get it. For time, let me move. It will make anybody else? What? It will make you submissive. Oh, another word is yielded. You know, I don't want to use submissive because I know in the age we live in, that can be misunderstood. When you are humble and you realize your need for God, you'll be what? Yielded. It's easy for God to direct you and use you. Amen? So let me move on and show you. So, the meaning of being poor in spirit is humility and yieldedness to God. God can easily tell you something. And you will not procrastinate it or postpone it or argue it. You know, people are very good in arguing. And you will miss God when you keep arguing with God. I tell you the truth. If you are good, you are too smart. Yeah? So, being too smart can be a big barrier to spiritual growth. You will argue with God. And you will miss God. Yeah? And the blessing, He said, for this is the kingdom of heaven. But I want to explain that. Because when you read that, you think, oh, that means they will get to heaven. And that's true. But I believe that those blessings are earthly blessings. When the kingdom of God, heaven comes in your life, it means that God will reign in your life. And He will easily use you. Because anytime God is using you, the kingdom is moving forward. Amen? So, being humble and yielded, we help God to reign in your life. I know you are born again. I know God is ruling in your life. But if you are between the rule of God and the reign of God, I know you said Jesus is Lord. But when God reigns, it's on a daily, moment by moment basis. God will reign and He will easily use you because you can quickly yield to Him. You may be going on one way, thinking it's the right way. You are convinced, you work that at it. And just when you wanted to finish, God says, no, turn. If you are not yielded, you will not say, I worked too hard on this way, Lord. Let me finish it. Amen. Are you with me, church? Stephen. There you go. God bless. Put your hands together for Stephen. He gave the first answer. All right, let's move on. He said, blessed. Please, let's read it from the Bible. Look at your Bible. It said, blessed are those who, what? Mourn. Why? Because they will be what? Comforted. Question. What does it mean to mourn? Or let's see it this way. What is the spiritual quality that enables you to mourn as a believer in a positive way that will give you blessing? Listen to that. Mourning in general looks like a bad thing. But Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. So what's he talking about? There is a spiritual quality in you that will make you mourn. And through that mourning, we bring blessing to your life. What is this quality? Okay? So normally the rule is that once you won two prizes, you take a break. But you've not won two, so we allow you. Yes?
To be like speaking tongues?
No, absolutely no. Yes.
Be sober and commit yourself to God in prayer.
Okay, yeah, that's nice, but it's not good, but it's nice. Yes. There's a spiritual quality that will cause you to mourn, and that mourning will release blessing into your life. That's what Jesus is saying. So for now, I want you to understand that he's not talking about people who are mourning because of disaster. There's a spiritual quality in you as a believer that will make you mourn, and that mourning will be a key to your blessing.
Having a contrite heart and repentance.
Repentance, put your hands together for Bratella. In fact, James describes it. James chapter 4. You read it before? Let's go to James 4. Let me just show you that so you don't think Pastor is just telling us his own thing. James chapter 4. Please open to James 4. James chapter 4, we are looking at verse what? Aha. James chapter 4, we are looking at verse 8 to 8 and 9. So we would like to read that. James 4, 8 and 9. Yes. Someone who has not read today. James 4, 8 and 9. Yes. Please read it.
James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. 9. Be afflicted and mourn and
afflicted and what?
And mourn.
And mourn.
And weep.
And weep.
Let your laughter be turned to mourning.
Let your laughter be turned to what?
And your joy mourning. To heaviness.
And your joy to heaviness. Do you see what I'm trying to say? He's talking about repentance. Repentance is a serious matter. In fact, there's a place in Luke that was saying, woe unto those who rejoice or laugh now. Because they will mourn later. You know what it means? When you are in wrongdoing and you are comfortable, you think it's a laughing matter. It's a big problem spiritually. Amen? When we have missed it, when we have done wrong, or when we've realized, you might have done wrong, but you didn't know. But the day you know that this thing is wrong, yeah, there should be godly sorrow. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to cry and make tears. Everybody is different emotionally. But there should be contrition. You know, there should be godly sorrow. And you know what it does for you? You know the blessing. What's the blessing? They shall be comforted. You know how God comforts you? When you mourn, which is when you have godly sorrow based on what you've done wrong, and you repent of it, you know what God will do for you as a blessing? It will bring you forgiveness, cleansing, and so that's comfort. Amen? That's what? That's comfort. Amen? So blessed are those who what? Mourn. For they shall what? They shall receive forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration. God, how God restores is that God will, even when you've done something that has serious consequences, God will help you to mitigate. You may not remove all, but we will mitigate, which is you reduce them or reduce the impact on you. Bible says, whoever covers his sin, we know what? Prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, we have what? Mercy. We have mercy. Hallelujah. So you can see so far that all what you're saying applies to this life. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. Aha, this one is very tricky. The next key is meekness. The Bible says there, if you live from, you may not see that in New Living Translation may mislead you. Let me just tell you now, because we've already linked being poor in spirit to being humble. So you know that cannot be the same answer. Okay? It says, blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. What does it mean to be meek? Let me help you. What spiritual qualities do you need in your life that will help you to be meek such that you'll be able to inherit the earth or inherit God's promises? Because the only reason why God wants to inherit the earth is that it has been promised. It's a possession. You know, everything that you call possessions now come from the earth. Did you know that? Let me just tell you something about the earth you don't know. I've said it before, but I don't think you got the revelation. You see that phone with Elmi and the earphones? They all came from the earth. You see that nice jewelry? Where is it? Huh? And I'm looking for the nice jewelry today. Who has it now? Let's look around. Who has the nice jewelry? You see, look at it, because there's visual learning. It comes from where? You see, come, Jim. You see Sean's shoes. Sometimes I pray. I wish I can magnify the clothes of my children sometimes. Yeah? You know, because I think children have more clothes than adults. Yeah, am I right? But at least for the boys to men, yeah. You see that nice shoe? Sit down, please. You know where it comes from? The earth. But I know you may say it comes from leather, which is from the cow, but what does the cow eat? What does the cow eat? Grass. Where does cows come from? So the earth is a summary of all worldly possessions. Behold is a summary of everything you are trying to achieve and possess in this life. Or in fact, let's just say possess. Let me not say achieve. Possess, like anything tangible. It comes from where? The earth. And the Bible says this meek, that we inherit the earth. So that's telling something about possession, possessing things. So what spiritual quality do you need to that makes you meek? And what does it mean to be meek? Think about it. And I won't tell you that the answer is not humility, because humility is being poor in spirit. We saw that already. Yes. Yes. You've not won two prizes, have you? No. Who won my second prize? Okay. Have I given you? Ah, I have to give you. Yeah. Okay, go on.
Is it not being big and powerful and protective over your items that came from the earth, but being sober?
Okay. No. No.
Is it about understanding and taking discipline and, like, not storing treasure on earth?
Yes, but that's part of the description of being meek. But it doesn't tell us the quality that makes you meek. You know, you let me just keep this in before you go on. Maybe some hands will go down. You know, you may be a naturally timid and shy person. That doesn't mean you are meek. In fact, meek means you are strong, you are capable, you are able. But you are still under control. What quality can make Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Bible called him meek? I can't hear. Sanika is my star for the day. Elmi. Sorry, I'm very sorry.
Being able to resist the devil.
Yes, but it's not. I can't say it's good, but it's in the right direction.
So I think the quality is patience.
Yes, patience is the key quality. If you ever in your life be called meek, you must be patient. If you are not patient, you are not meek. Instead, you are what? Aggressive.
Patience and long suffering.
Yes, patience. Yes, there's one more. You see, if all you have is patience, you have trouble. You need something to motivate your patience. Something has to motivate that patience. Yes, continue. Go on.
Self-control.
Self-control, yeah, but patience is a bigger word. I take patience. For meekness, patience is the word. But what motivates your patience? Patience is not the starting point. You have something that now motivates your patience. Otherwise, you will run out of patience. Yes?
Perseverance,
yes, but that's the same as patience. Yes. So what we're looking for now, we got half the answer. But we're saying that if you just have patience and it's not motivated by something, you will run out of patience. What do you have that keeps your patience going?
Being able to surrender.
Yeah, but surrender has to do with poor in spirit. Yes, I'm looking for exclusive answer. Okay, I'll take two more, then I stop. Actually, I'm not repeating anyone that has spoken. Have you spoken? Yes.
It's probably the wrong answer, but I'll still say it.
Say it.
Contentment.
And then we come to contentment later. Yeah, let's. If you've spoken once, you can't speak again.
Being humble.
Humble, yes, but we said humble. So the key to my answers today is that we don't repeat ourselves. We've actually been humble with being poor in spirit. So, if you want to get my answer, we are not going to repeat. Okay? Last one.
The last guess. Love?
Love is good. It's a very close answer. That's it. It's closed. Nobody gets my prize. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read verse 12. You see, to interpret that particular question, you need to interpret it from the blessing applied. The blessing is that the meek we inherit what? Oh, the earth. The meek we will do what? They will inherit the earth. So who likes to read for me? Hebrews 6:12, Sister Claudia? I saw you shaking your head. So you're the right person to read it. Hebrews 6:12, please. Follow your Bible.
That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Amen. If you will ever inherit the promises of God, which effectively means inheriting the earth. What do you need? Faith and what? and patience. So the quality that will ever make you meek in your life is what? Faith and patience. You see, because you see, if someone has faith and patience, they will go through any storm. They are still there. Pressure, they are calm. Provocation, they are not going to yield. You understand? They are not going to yield to provocation because they have faith, trust in God, and patience. They will weather through it. And when they finish, they have people. You know one thing about meek people? They are finishers. A meek person finishes the journey. Let me just give you some ideas on meekness. So that I just want to explain so that you understand it's much more than being shy and timid. And faith and patience is what enables you to be calm under pressure. Amen? Let me just quickly talk about this because I thought it was very important. So, the calmness of the meek comes from their steadfast trust and dependence on God. That's why they're not shaking. Psalm 46. Say, God is our refuge and strength. A present of God. Therefore, we will not fear. Even if the earth is removed. That's meekness. Amen? You see, Moses was also called a meek man. But he wasn't meek all his life. Until he learned faith and what? Patience. When Moses was growing up and he went out, what did he do? And then he ran away. You know how long it took you to learn meekness and patience? Meekness. You know how long it took Moses to become meek? 40 years. He learned faith and what? Patience. And that's why in the wilderness, no matter the provocation, he's still standing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just say one more thing about meekness for you. The meek stick to their godly goal despite pressure and provocation. And a meek person never gives up on God. Never. A meek person never gives up on God. They go the distance. And that's why they will inherit all of God's promises. It's not like in heaven. It's right here. A meek person will inherit God's promises on earth. Amen? They start with faith and they stick to it until they get the result. Amen? That's meekness. Hallelujah. Did I continue? I proved to you how Jesus was meek. The Bible says that in the days of his flesh, you know, that he I'm going to quote. You know, he endured that suffering. He was trusting in God. Yeah? Who was able to justify him. That's how he was able to bear it all. He trusted in God. Yeah? He trusted in God, even despite his suffering. Faith and patience. And that's how he conquered death. Hallelujah. He would never have made it without faith and patience. That's why we call him meek. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. I hope you've learned something there. The next one is, I hope you didn't see that answer. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. I expect some people to get this one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. What spiritual quality enables you to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or what does it mean to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Think about it. In simple language, what quality do you need that will sustain you in hungering and thirsting after righteousness or after God? Quick.
Hungry and thirsty for the word.
You're just repeating me. So the answer means you will not use hunger and thirst. Try again. There's a quality you can acquire that translates to hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I've repeated it too many times in this church. Even when I was teaching the arm of God, I said it. Yeah, go on. Okay, next person. Stephen.
Is it the word of God?
See what?
The word of God.
No. It's about something you do. You know, hungering and thirsting is what you do. Yeah? It's not what God does for you. God does not hunger and thirst for you. You do it. So there's something you can take on in your life that is the same as hungry and thirsting.
Is it enthusiasm?
Enthusiasm is a good answer. It's like going in that right direction, but it's not what I'm looking for. But you're in the right direction. Yes, it's in the right direction. Yes. I did it when we're doing the spiritual armor. Yeah, I'll give you a clue now after this answer. Yes?
Determination,
no.
Devotion.
Devotion, no. We're coming to devotion later. Yes, somebody help me. What is your feet shod? What are your shoes?
Readiness to do the work of God.
Willingness and obedience. Your readiness to do God's will. Your readiness to do God's will is the same as hungering and thirsting after what? Righteousness. Yeah, you are busy, but you are ready. Sorry? No. Well, no, you should be rewarded. So that tells you the value of not taking. When a clue has been given, why? No. What do you mean? Readiness for shoes? Yes, I declared publicly after the answer, I'll give you a clue. This happens spiritually. God always releases grace and mercy. Whoever captures it. You remember that story about an angel that comes to stir the water and whoever goes in first? God always works like that. Amen. Let me tell you something. Your readiness to do God's will is the same as hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You may be busy, you may be tired, but you are ready. You will just find that you will push yourself. Amen? Even when all that, you see, what about the problem with enthusiasm is that it is easy for some people to be enthusiastic when everybody is doing it. Amen? You know, if the church is full of 100 people today, there will be more enthusiasm. But that is not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Some people hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we do it if it's the only one. He's the only one, but he will do it. Okay. All right. So, Bratella, I will leave you to solve the battle. Give me back your £1 and you get the £2. Today is your day. So. Yeah, so whatever you want to, it's yours. It's absolutely, totally yours. But if you want to be generous, that's your business. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me just explain why I won't take enthusiasm, though I understand what you mean. I have found it also in my personal experience that a lot of people get enthusiastic when there are many people. And they just follow the crowd. It's not real enthusiasm. The real hungry and thirsty after righteousness is you are the only one. But you are ready. And you stick to it. And what's the promise? What's the promise for being ready? It shall be filled. But if I leave it there, you won't understand it. What does it mean to be filled? It means that if you are ready to do God's will, yeah, you will find fulfillment and satisfaction in life. You may not have everything. But if you do God's will, you will feel fulfilled. You will know. Yeah? That you know Jesus? He was not the richest man when he was on earth. Though he's richer than all. But he said what? He said, it is finished. I've done everything. It was fulfilled. Because your life is measured according to what God expects of you. That's why you can never be fulfilled until you do what God tells you to do. Amen? See, if you get busy, even if you acquire all the money in the world and all the qualifications in the world, you will never be fulfilled until you do what God tells you to do. Because your conscience will nag you, except you kill it. Amen? So, if you are looking for fulfillment in your life, you should be willing and obedient to the voice of God. You should be ready to do God's will. People should be able to say something about you. Oh, tell me something about help me. I say, I know many things about Naomi, but the greatest thing I know about Naomi is that she loves God. And how can you say someone loves God? It's not because they sang in the choir. You know that if they have to make a choice, any day, any time, they will choose what God wants them to do. And they are ready to blank out any other thing. That's what it means to hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And when you do that, you will find fulfillment in life. You will find fulfillment in life. That's why, you see, happiness, the ultimate happiness, you can't get it from holidays and parties and rest. They will make you happy. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me. Yeah? Holidays and parties and lots of money, nice house, nice car, nice clothes, nice shoes, nice whatever, they will make you happy. But the greatest happiness comes from doing what God has told you to do. Because he's the one that made you. He has the master plan for your life. Your fulfillment is packaged in doing God's will. And many people will die without fulfillment because they are chasing happiness. So I just wanted to say that. So put your hands together for Brother Teller. Don't envy him. Okay. Don't worry. It will soon be your turn. This one should be easy. Okay. Aha! I like this one. Next one. What does it say? What does the next one say? Someone help me. Yes. Next one. Read it.
God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Okay. Are you ready to think? What spiritual quality do you need, or spiritual value, that helps you to be merciful? Or let me say it this way. What does it mean to be merciful? Now, to understand the answer, please, before you jump, remember the reward. The blessing is that you will obtain mercy. Think. There's something you do that the same thing comes back to you in multiples. I hope I'm not giving too much clue. Yes, starting from the youngest now, Steven.
To give, which is being selfless.
Give me back your pound and take that. But I'll give a bonus price for anybody that can improve on that. So I'm looking for a big word. But just when you find it, you give it back to me. Okay? So, yes, that's absolutely right. But I think it's just broader. I'm looking for a bigger word. The same is the answer. Well, okay. Sean.
Gratefulness. Gratefulness and thankfulness.
No. We'll come to that later. Elmi?
Compassion.
Yes, compassion is good. But that's what I'm looking for, but it's good. It's in the right direction. So I can give you a bonus part of 50p for that. Yes?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness is good. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. It's good, but it applies to something else. So I cannot give you the price for that there. I'll just show you. I can show you. You see, that someone said, you know, teaching is like when you have a truck of goods. Yeah, imagine you ordered from Tesco and they said, go and get your butter. Look for it inside the truck of goods. You're not likely to go back to that shop, yeah? Teaching helps you to put everything in its own compartment. Yeah? So that when you go, you can just pick what you need. All right? So forgiveness will come later. Yes? Sorry, I saw your hand. But have you given up? Okay.
Empathy.
Empathy, yes, that's like compassion. That's good. But it doesn't strike it. Take give and make it bigger.
Generosity.
That's 50p for you as a bonus prize. Amen. Put your hands together for Steven and Pastor Jimmy. You see, growing up, I always thought being merciful was just forgiving people. But you know, it's you know, giving is an act of compassion. Amen. The merciful there is generosity, giving and serving. Can I prove it to you? Open your Bible to Luke 6:38. Let's see how Jesus said it. Luke 6:38. You see, the Bible never said if you forgive others, the people will forgive you. Did the Bible say that? Yeah? He said, God will forgive you. Yeah? But not people. But look at Luke 6:38. Yes, who has it? Just a moment. So just a moment. You've read. Okay. Please read.
Give and you will receive. Your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amounts you give will determine the amount you get back.
Amen. And you see that? He said, give and what? You will receive. Blessed are the merciful, because what? They will obtain mercy. Proverbs 11:35 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that waters shall also be what? Water. But I don't want to say giving there is not just money. It also includes when you freely give your time. You see, all volunteering or charity work is giving freely of your time. You know? Or giving freely of your talents or resources. You know, you have a skill that you know that you can go and work, convert to money. But you have someone, a neighbor that has help, you use that skill to help them free. That's an act of mercy. Amen? And let me just say this while we are here and just say that there's no point praying to God to bless you when you are not, when you are a stingy person. There's no point. I'm not just talking to you. I remember something in my child, you know. So if you are stingy, that pray, God doesn't answer every prayer. Or let's say that already. Well, God answered every prayer accordingly. And some of the answers is ignore. Yeah, if God said, give, you refuse to give, there's no point in praying that God should bless you more. Because you have not done justice to the one he gave you. Are you with me? Yeah, you have to understand these spiritual principles. So what I'm trying to say is that you don't break a principle of God and tell God to override it. You are telling God to deny who he is. He has shown you the way. Follow. Then you cannot say, Father, I've done what you said. Thank you, because the blessing is coming. And it must come. Amen? So that's the golden key to blessing. So what's the blessing? He said that we obtain mercy. Let me define that to you. When you practice generosity, which is giving and serving, you will enter what? You enter prosperity. What's prosperity? Prosperity is not having all the money in this world, but you have no peace, no rest, no health. Yeah. So to me, prosperity means you have abundance and well-being. Amen? Abundance means you can bless others, yeah? But that's not enough. If you have abundance, but you've killed your health, you've killed your brain, you've killed your comfort, you've overworked your life to enter it, it's not prosperity. You see what I mean? You have abundance and also what? Well-being. Look at Abraham. Abraham was a prosperous man. He had abundance. He also had what? Well-being. And his relationship with God was not disturbed by his prosperity. That's prosperity. So, and you see, the key is generosity. Generosity does not start when you have all the money in the world. It starts wherever you are. Amen? Everybody can be generous. Say this. I say everybody can be what? Generous. And the key of generosity is that when you start where you are, there's one key I find in the Bible, that there's continuous promotion. In generosity, there's continuous promotion. You start from zero, it will move it to next level. It will move it to next level. And then you find you're doing more, but you're having more. And then you move to the next level, you're doing more, you're having more. That's the kingdom. Amen? Let's move on. So we are key five. We have four more keys. Next one. What does it say? Next one, look at it. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Question. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Or what spiritual quality do you need that helps you to be pure in heart? Or is it possible at all to be pure in heart? Next question is, what does it mean to see God? Does it mean like if you are pure in heart, you'll be having dreams and you'll be seeing God? Does it mean that if you are pure in heart, you'll die and go straight to heaven? What does it mean? Because of course, growing up, when I read that, all it meant to me is that if I'm pure in heart in this life, I will make it to heaven. And that's true. But it's more than, it's deeper. That blessing is saying is for this earth, this world. What quality do you need that helps you to be pure in heart? And how do you see God? Yes? Only one hand. Oh, two. Okay. You've had two prizes, so I have to take a break. The maximum prize I can give is two. Except if there's no other volunteer, then I will give it to you. Yes, Anike, this time, because I was keeping you many times.
I think to be to have a heart of forgiveness and void of bitterness.
Okay. We'll come to forgiveness and bitterness later. That's not the answer, but it's good. But it's just not the right answer because there's another one that applies directly. So it's not the best answer. What does it mean to pure in heart? I said it last week. Do you want to give him first?
Having a clean heart.
Yes. What does it mean to have a clean heart? All right. By the way, I want to tell you something. Don't go in that direction. You won't get my prize. But it's right. It's correct. It's correct. It's just that, you know, we need to unpack the way you want to give out before you. What does it mean to be pure in heart? I said it last week for anybody listening.
Free of guilt from sin.
Free of guilt, yes. But we talked about mourning. You remember? Blessed are those who mourn because they shall become. And we said mourning means repentance. The only thing that will make you free of guilt, please understand me. The only thing that will make you free of guilt from sin in this world is repentance. Because you will always, from time to time, because you are still in this body, make mistakes. Yeah? So nobody is permanently free of guilt. When you do wrong, you repent. Then it will forgive, cleanse you. That's, you'll be free of guilt. Amen? So that's not the answer. Yes. Oh, Andrea.
Clear or clean conscience.
See? Clear conscience. Yeah, I like that. But again, it's a bit tilted to this clean and free of guilt. I wanted to move to the other direction of this.
To be single-minded towards God.
To be single-minded towards God. Yes. That's excellent. It's excellent.
Oh, okay.
You cannot say anything contrary. You can only improve on it. That's the answer. You want to improve on it?
Act like Jesus.
That's a bonus prize.
Act like Jesus.
Sorry?
Act like Jesus.
Act like Jesus, yes, but that's the excellent answer. You want to improve on that? Let me move because of time.
To be led by the Spirit.
To be led by the Spirit. I tell you, that's benefit. To be single minded. Let's open to Matthew 6. I show you that. Matthew 6. Verse 21 and 22. Matthew 6. No, yeah, let me just get there to make sure I'm not. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 to 23. Yes? Please look at your Bible. Matthew 6, 21, 23. Yes? Please look at your Bible. Look at it. We're talking about being pure in heart. Look at it now.
Wherever your treasure is.
Wherever your treasure is.
There the desire of your heart will also
be. There is where your heart will be. So we're dealing with the heart now, yes?
Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full.
When your eye is good. Another version is when your eye is single. Yeah? Your whole body will be full of what?
Light.
Light. Yes? Continue.
But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness.
Okay. Let's stop there. Let me just explain. The issue of being pure in heart has to do on the focus of your heart. Who brings purity? Where does purity come from? You or God? Where does righteousness come from? You or God? You see, your righteousness is because God made you righteous. Eh? If your heart is set on pleasing God, and you don't shift to the left or to the right, you are pure in heart. Because when your heart is set on pleasing God, God Himself makes sure that heart is what? Pure. Amen? If sin comes along, you don't waste time to repent. Because your heart is focused on what? The only guarantee for you to be pure in heart is to have a singular, undivided focus on pleasing God. Amen? When that's the driving point of your life, you're pure. You know? When you are double-minded or double-dealing with God or dilly-dallying, you are not pure. You know. Amen? I know you are born again. So, the virtue behind that, I would define it as you give priority, attention, and devotion to God. It doesn't mean there will be nothing else in your life. It means that all those are secondary. People know. People know you. They know that. They can predict you. I told you God is predictable. Those who say God is unpredictable is because they don't know the word of God. Now, anytime God is unpredictable to you, you don't know what his word has said, isn't it? When you know God, you know that this God, is that I change not, is predictable. And people who are praying that, they are predictable. Then you know that that's exactly what they will do. You know they won't compromise. You know that they are going to be there. They are going to be in church. You know if they are not in church, the word has tumbled over. You know. Do you understand? A singular undivided focus on pleasing God and doing his will. Usually it's an attention problem. We human beings usually have attention problem. You know, on Friday we're talking about what you raised up about the 10 spies and the 2 spies. Then later I went back to read 1 Corinthians 10. The Bible says the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's what they did. That's why they could not have faith to defeat the giant. They were not paying attention to the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. Every day they were collecting the manna, they were not paying attention. They were collecting the quails, they were not paying attention. They passed through the rest, they were not paying attention. Yeah? All they did was they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to what? So when they now saw the giants, they were afraid. But do you know that the same day they saw the giants, there was a pillar of cloud following them that morning. They collected manna from the sky that morning. Imagine. They got used to it. It was no longer a miracle. It was normal. Amen? Let me tell you the benefit. Seeing God means revelation. Discernment. Direction. Which other one? There's one more. Sorry, let me just check that. Okay, we're about finishing. What's the other one? Come on, do it for me. Protection. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you are walking in revelation and direction and discernment, there are some things that will not happen to you that happens to every other person. Amen? Because you are picking it straight from the Spirit. You are seeing God. Yeah? When you see God, you can bypass many problems in life. And you can overcome much more problems in life because you are seeing God. Amen? So, what we need to do to ourselves is that, you know, is he the treasure of my heart and my soul? And I tell you, it's not in the matter of singing it. It's a matter of priority attention. Has God got my attention? Or what is catching my attention? Is it jewelry? Sorry, I'm just cutting. Don't joke. Is it football? Is it, you know, money? Is it national lottery? Amen. I wanted to chip something in and just say, you know, especially what we need in this season. I've been saying it, but in my spirit, I know that some people are still having this problem in this church. So I want to say it again. As part of being pure in heart, a believer, a true believer, you don't have any business watching horror movies. I'm just saying for the benefit of one or two more people that are still not yet to get it. You sit down and decide you want to entertain yourself. Yeah? With spooky and fearful things. You are opening doors. It's called evil entertainment. Evil. Let me say another one. A true believer also, you have no business carving pumpkins for Halloween. You don't have any business with that. Halloween is a celebration, yeah, of the acts of evil spirits. You don't read this history. Yeah, you can go out and evangelize on Halloween night, no problem. But you want to carve pumpkin for Halloween, you don't have any business with it. You understand? You see, all these little things, they have a way of just undermining you spiritually. So I'm not trying to say condemn people, love people, but know your mission and go for your mission. But love people. Don't pull down people. Love people. If children get to my heart and say trick or trick or whatever, if I ask you, I'll give them. But I also give them a tract or a word of God. Or I tell them, Jesus loves you. Amen? But you don't have a business being the champion or getting excited with evil. You just don't have the business. Praise the Lord. Okay, two more. Ah, this is the one. Let me see who can win this. Don't be too eager. You may miss it. I gave you a key there. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." What does it mean to be a peacemaker? But I'll give you the first clue. It's peacemaker, not a peace broker. So if you understand that, when the Bible is talking about peacemaker, it's not talking about calling two people together and settling their quarrel. That's peace brokering. Anybody who has not talked today, and Sister Yemisi, actually, it looks like it's only Sister Yemisi that has not spoken. Yes. Blessed are the peacemaker. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? Or what quality? Now, some of you have been giving some answers before. This is now the time. What quality, spiritual quality, helps you to make peace? You know you can make peace. You can make what? Peace. How do you make peace? Think about it. It's not only other things you can make. You can make peace. What spiritual quality helps you to make peace? Yes. You've not won anything today. Some of the answers you gave me before me, apply now. What spiritual qualities helps you to make peace?
Forgiving and wiping away.
Forgiving, yes. 50p.
Wiping away bitterness.
Yes, it's all forgiveness. Amen? Your willingness to forgive someone who has wronged you will help you make peace with them. Amen? Yes? Sister Claudia.
Love.
Walking in love is the master key to being a peacemaker, not a peace broker. I want you to understand from today that peacemaking has to do with you and the person that has offended you. Amen? It's not a third party problem. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called what? The sons of God." Anytime you walk in love and forgiveness, you are making peace. And you know the benefit of that? You know the benefit of being called the son of God? Your light will shine. Let's take that and just quickly. Time is gone. I will just quote the verse.
I'm just going to elaborate on what has been said before. So, forgive and asking for forgiveness as well. So, being ready to apologize.
Yeah, asking for forgiveness, we associate with mourning, repentance. Sorry. Yeah, but I understand what you mean. Who got that love? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sorry? Oh. Okay, you give 50p to Elmi. Okay, please, let me just make that. The point Pastor Jim is making is that, it's not just enough to forgive. You should also, learn to ask for forgiveness when you wronged it. But I said that is repentance. And I don't want to tie them together. You see, you forgive with an act of generosity. Are you listening to me? You see, if I'm tying forgiveness to when the admitted that, it's a conditional forgiveness. But the greatest of forgiveness is you don't deserve it. You know what God did to you? But give it. You got to wait, you never make peace. If you are waiting for everybody to admit their fault, everybody will be arguing and quarreling, and there will never be peace. Amen? It's let me just quote it. Matthew 5. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." Yeah? Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. That's peacemaking. Amen? He said, why? That you may be the children of your Father. Hallelujah. When you love your enemies, when you bless those who curse you, when you pray for them, you are being the sons of God. Your light will shine. Amen? Time has gone, so let me just quickly flip through. I have 2 more pounds, so 2 more things to do. Okay, what's the spiritual virtue? Let's move faster. What's the spiritual virtue of being persecuted for righteousness' sake? And the Bible says that the reward is theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what does it mean? What do you need in your life that people will persecute you? That you are too righteous. Yes?
Evangelism and shining your light for Jesus.
No. Remember, this is righteousness' sake. Righteousness means what's righteousness? Right standing and right living. So look at it, you are living right. Yeah? But you need a spiritual quality that will help you to live right in this type of days. You refuse to compromise, you refuse to what do you need in your life that even when you know you can compromise and cut the corner, you will still live right. Because there you're not being persecuted for Christ's sake, you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is, you did the right thing, but people around you do not agree. And they pull you down for that. Yes? Discipline? Integrity? Yes? Try? I heard a word before that said we see. Humility? No, we said humility before, so I don't want to reapply it.
Determination?
No. The closest one is integrity. Another one? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 to 7. Time has gone, so let me just quote it. But godliness with contentment is what? Is great gain. Because we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that we're not going to take anything out of it. The quality that we help you enter that key is godliness with contentment. You know, because if you have contentment, you will stick to what you're doing. You will not compromise your integrity. Yeah? But if you don't have contentment, anything you compromise. Am I right? Godliness with what? Contentment. And you know, Bible says that when you have godliness with contentment, let me tell you the reward. There's the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? Which simply means that God will reign in your life and easily use you. Because you will have integrity. You will not easily what? Compromise. Finally, light key. The last one. What quality do you need to enter this key of being persecuted for Christ's sake? Shall I try again? Now you are persecuted for Christ's sake. Why? Why would people persecute you? For Christ's sake.
Because it's like people know that you're doing
crime. Do people persecute all Christians?
No.
What about Christians will be persecuted?
The ones that are like,
look at the Bible. Think about the people we know that are persecuted.
The ones that are preaching.
Did we hear of everybody being persecuted?
The ones that are preaching and teaching.
The ones that are preaching and teaching, yes, is in the right direction. I'm looking for qualities. But that's the right direction. 20p. Qualities that will make people persecuted for righteousness. You've had your prizes. That's why. You're going. Two words.
Okay.
About your attitude to Christ that will cause people to persecute you.
Okay.
And you said preaching and teaching, I said that's the right direction, but I'm looking for qualities.
Perseverance,
yes, and
faithfulness,
yes. Put yours together. What is that, PJ? Time has gone. He's our son. Your faithfulness and perseverance in serving Christ. Through thick and thin. Yeah? It will bring persecution. Please, I want to round up this time. I just want to tell you something. Of all the nice keys I've listed, this is the only one that says, great is your reward in heaven. I can't apply it to earth. Amen? All the other ones I applied it to earth. But this one I can't. He said, great is your reward where? In heaven. So, you see, when you are faithful and when you persevere in serving Christ, sometimes it may look like as if you are not getting any direct reward here. You know? Like people like Paul, all the sufferings he had, say in heaven is the reward great. And I've tried to explain to people, they say, when the Bible tells you have many crowns, you don't understand the meaning of crowns. Because I explained the own fellowship. You say, oh, it's not just crowns. Even if I don't have crowns, I'm happy. I will just manage through heaven. I don't need crowns. Crowns represent beauty. That's why women wear jewelry. Crowns represent authority or honor. And crowns represent glory. Heaven is not the same level for everybody. There are people in hierarchy. There are people that will serve others in heaven. I'm telling you the truth. We are all in heaven. But some people will be giving rulership over cities. The Bible says it. And some will just be sweeping the floor. I tell you the truth. I know you don't believe me about that. Different levels of beauty, different levels of honor, different levels of going to heaven. And it depends on our faithfulness and perseverance in serving God. Let's rise up and pray.